When we're growing up, a lot of us learned a musical instrument like piano, trumpet, guitar. Then we get older, we choose careers other than music and let this instrument sit in the basement getting dusty, or maybe it hits the garage sale. Our next guest says it's important to keep on making music, even if we're not pros, and she's figured out some good ways to make room in our lives for it.
Stephanie Elkins joins us now. She's a music host here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You can catch her Sunday nights at 5 on Simply Folk. She's also an amateur musician. Stephanie, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
So, Stephanie, can you make the case for us that even though we have day jobs of nothing to do with music, that we should keep on making music, not just listening to it?
Yeah, I can make the case personally, but there's also a lot of research behind it that making music makes you feel good, and not just at that moment, but it can lift your spirits emotionally, psychologically, and it impacts the whole rest of your life. So it's something that if you can squeeze it in, it really, really makes a difference.
Let's get to squeezing it in, because I think some people might be listening saying, sounds lovely if I had the time. How do we make time for music?
Well, a couple things you can do. One thing that we did at home is just leave the instruments out. You know, if you have a nice guitar, don't leave it in the case. It might need to have a little bit of, you know, humidifier or something like that to take care of it, but leave it out. We have a mandolin and we have percussion instruments and we have stuff that's just finally now in the living room. I used to be a neat freak and a perfectionist and everything would be put away. But now that it's there, you can actually pick it up and play whenever you feel like it. And sometimes that's 5 minutes during a commercial on TV, or, you know, when the pasta is coming to a boil.
Yeah, it's interesting. One deterrent, I think, for people, and this includes me, is that if it's been a while, you don't want to play because you're going to sound terrible and it's demoralizing and your neighbors are going to complain. How do we get past that initial, I sound terrible at this, I shouldn't be playing it?
Well, I think that's a common phenomenon, especially since we hear so much beautiful music, recorded music. But you just have to get over that and you have to be okay with it. And especially if you have kids, you want to give them the example of it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to practice and learn and just improve and have it be an important part of your life no matter how it sounds.
And you're saying that because we hear so much perfect studio music, it might sound even harsher to our ears when really, you know, nothing sounds that pristine.
Well, and if you think about that, we've been making music for centuries, millennia, in villages, and, you know, we would do these dances, and everybody was expected to learn how to play a fiddle or at least sing a few songs. And it's only been this century, or not this century, but the last maybe 120 years or so, when we've had recorded music that all of a sudden we've stopped doing this. We don't get together like we used to. It used to be a community bonding thing, a family bonding thing, and we've given up that for some reason, and it really needs to take a more important part in our lives.
Well, how about that as a social element, apart from just practicing at home? Is that part of the solution here, getting together and having hootenannies or something?
You bet. Absolutely. And I say that because we do it at home. And for instance, when our friends come over to the house, they know to bring a guitar or bring an instrument. My brother-in-law made a songbook, and so we get that thing out, and everybody has the same pages and the same chords. And it doesn't matter if it sounds bad, and it doesn't matter if the harmonies sounds not quite right. The point is it's community building, it's family building, it's really healthy on so many levels.
Plus, you get to use the word hootenanny again, which is worth it almost just for that alone.
There are hootenannies all over Wisconsin. I mean, the folk community does this routinely. And there are, you can find places to play with in community groups. And not only that, it's summertime. So now there are community bands starting up. There are community choruses. So there are lots of opportunities.
Well, part of the thing that's going on, I think, is a lot of us have outsourced creativity to other people, whether we're talking about music or writing or art, you name it, and not embracing the role of the amateur. And we talked about that just a little bit before the show. Can you make amateur a happy word for us again?
Oh, yes. Well, the root of that word is from the Latin amor, or love, and it just means love. A love of music, love of whatever you're an amateur at is a really good thing, and it's fine to be an amateur. And it reflects simply that you have a connection with whatever your art form is. You know, I think people that do visual arts, it's the same thing. If you leave your paints out, you're going to paint more, and you're an amateur, but you still love it. It sustains you. It helps you. It makes you feel good. And so many of us, we outsource, right? We buy somebody else's art. We buy somebody else's music. And we forget that the creative process is something that feeds our spirits. It feeds our emotional life. And it's really, really important.
Yeah, and Stephanie, you and I got the idea for this segment when we were chatting at work one day, and you have a really cool ritual. You found a way to make space for this. It sounds like you and your husband, every Saturday morning, you get up and you play music together.
That's right. And we are amateurs. We obviously don't do this for money. But with a cup of coffee, often still in our pajamas, he'll sit at the piano. I get my guitar out. We sing. Sometimes we do old standards. Sometimes we write music. We've written a lot of songs. And, you know, they're not great. They're just for us. And it's something that, you know, marriages have their ebbs and flows, and it's a glue that keeps us really close, and it also allows for a lot of emotions that you can't necessarily put words to have an opportunity to come through and be present.
You know, having the instrument out really, now that you mention it, that makes a difference. My main instrument is saxophone. I practice that. It's a little bit of work, but I have a flute. And if I leave it assembled, not in the case, there's the flute. Play it a little bit horribly, try not to pass out because it uses so much more air. And if it's sat in the case, and it's sat in there for a year now, I think. And then I had my old 1980s synthesizer in the basement. A couple of the keys don't work. It did nothing for a long time. Put it in the kids' room, plugged it into an app, and they play it every day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's as simple as not putting things away.
It is, and you just have to be comfortable with the fact that your surroundings are going to reflect this love of music. And that's okay. You just have to own that. You know, when people come over to the house and we have these things all around, we're in the middle of another music project. That's just how it is, where, you know, 10 years ago, I would have been freaking out and trying to put everything away. But it is something that really, you know, before radio, I had a pretty heavy corporate job. And that weekly, I was sang with a chorus for a long while. And that weekly choral rehearsal was my therapy. I would go home high as a kite and feeling really good. And that's when I finally got it, that it's more than just the music.
Yeah, such a good case. It's a good reminder. I have in my instrument graveyard, I have a trombone and a cornet, and those probably no one should ever hear me play again. But I can actually play the piano, and I can actually sing, and I'm not doing those things, even though I do have a piano in my living room. So what's the impetus, Stephanie, for just doing it? You just sit down, no matter where you are, and just go?
Well, I think it's a form of self-love in a way. So you just have to figure out that this is something that makes you feel good, and you're just going to allocate time for it. And when you start doing it on a regular basis, I now am committed to doing it about 6 days a week. And really, that's only 5 or 10 minutes a day. I just want to keep my guitar calluses. That's really where it comes down to, because it hurts so much if you don't. You have to keep starting over. But, you know, you sing and I sing, and you were talking about the sax and the flute. Those are all things that require deep breathing. And that's another reason why it elevates you. It elevates your spirits. It elevates you, you know, physiologically. And so when you make music with yourself and especially with others, it is feeding you in ways that impact the whole rest of your life. You know, I become less irritable. I become friendlier. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that benefits not just me, but everybody around me.
Well, now we've been pitching this largely to people who, you know, maybe used to play back in high school band or whatever. What about people who never started with music? Can you make the case that they should leap this even bigger hurdle? They've never started in the first place.
Absolutely. I have met seniors who are starting to learn recorder for the first time. You know, it's a little instrument and it's easy to play and it's not too loud. And for instance, they're at the University of Wisconsin here in Madison. They have a summer class series, and they use the undergrad and graduate students to be the instructors. It gives them practice in teaching, and it also provides a community service, kind of the Wisconsin idea. And I think I just saw that the deadline for those classes is coming up this Friday, but that's a way, if you've never done anything, you can find what resources are around through your university, through your technical colleges, and get started.
And Stephanie, sing-alongs are a good way to go. In our last minute here, you have occasionally done the sing-along Simply Folk evenings, and those have been pretty popular. Tell us about that resource and what people get out of it.
Oh, that is absolutely the most popular program on Simply Folk. And every time I do it, they'll say, can you just do it again next week? But there's something, in fact, we have listening parties around the state for the sing-along show where people get together and the lyrics are posted. In fact, there might be a
they're
link
on the Central Time Facebook page right now.
Excellent. There are 40 songs there that you can sing along with, kids, adults, every age. And I think that's the appeal, is that anybody can do it. And you can sing She's Been Coming Around the Mountain or Puff the Magic Dragon or Where Have All the Flowers Gone, traditional old songs, Shenandoah, things like that. And share something together, share a moment together. And it's something, again, that feeds the spirit and makes you feel good.
Great. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've been talking to Stephanie Elkin. She's an amateur musician and music host here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You can catch her Sunday nights at 5 o'clock on Simply Folk.